Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This is Ricky Pearsall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm here with Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man for a live edition of the show, an all-business edition of the show. We're getting right into business, guys, because right now is the time for us to go and make hay, dude. This is the biggest fantasy football weekend of drafts that we have coming up, and we need to make sure that everybody is completely set. We need to make sure that we leave no stone unturned. Right now, I'm running updates to version 6.4 of the PPR cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com, version 5.5 of the Superflex cheat sheet. We'll run some simulations doing that stuff, but mainly just want to go through all these teams. Any last-minute tips that we have, we're going to try and give out here. Any movements as far as what we've seen in ADP and what we're doing with these player values as far as what we gauge them coming into this big weekend, we want to make sure that we pass all of that on to you guys. So it's probably about time to get going. I'm not seeing the chats, Cody, so maybe you can see them. I'm not seeing them here on my end.
They're there.
Okay. Cody, let me ask you this. Do you think, and before we just get into this team-by-team stuff, as I'm putting together version 6.4 of the PPR cheat sheet, are you starting to see in these these simulations, now that we're getting more and more of the ADP data in from all of these sites, that running backs are going earlier and earlier almost every single day, and to where it almost feels like it's going to be an arms race at running back before we have the – I just feel like we have this ability to maybe take a couple running backs early, and it feels like you're skewing a little bit running back heavy to start. But then there's this area of wide receivers where I keep on looking, and I'm like, dude, there are these wide receivers that I really like – Courtland Sutton and Xavier Worthy and Ted McMillan, right? A little bit farther down, guys like George Pickens, Jameson Williams, Calvin Ridley. Even now we have the Rashi Rice news, right? Rashi Rice, if you can draft him, I've been able to draft him as the first player on my bench. And I've said, well, if I can just keep him on my bench, I got a nuclear weapon coming back for me in week 7. And then even behind them, guys like Pearsall and Emeka Egbuka and Jerry Jeudy and Stephon Diggs, Jordan Addison, all these guys that I think are pretty much as good as these guys being taken way up the board from them, like the DJ Moores or the DK Metcalfs or these types of players, right? And so what that's been allowing me to do and what I've been trying to kind of put together is, well, then if you load up on receivers through that period, then you can get to the point of the draft where you get to like the J.K. Dobbinses and the Austin Ecklers and the Charbonnets and the Braylon Allens and the Jaden Blues and that kind of stuff. And you can get the back end of your roster to have some of these more upside more of these upside running backs, whereas you've gone like five super strong wide receivers without it being real heavy at the top with just one true wide receiver one. I like that build. I'm wondering if, like, fundamentally, is that something that you're kind of putting into your process?
It's something that naturally I think has come around, and we talk about this during the early – I mean, we've been talking about the seasonal stuff for what feels like 2 months at this point, but it was – you know, back then it was a lot of the best ball bros and it was a lot of receivers. And we know as it gets closer to the season, every single year, it becomes a running back thing. And I will say, like, the sheet transitions a little bit at a certain point to, while you're continually adapting to becoming that running back situation where you can get some values on running backs and maybe you should target the running backs. Like, I can run a sim, for example, and it can start out with a Saquon Kyren Williams team. And maybe that's not how it would have started, let's say, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. And I think I'm still happy with it. Even if it comes out with five receivers, I still feel good about the roster because you still get a T. Higgins, who, as we saw in games with Jamar Chase last year, was great. Ted Rowe McMillan, George Pickens, Emeka Egbuka, Jalen Coker. Like, you still get a good enough, I think, receiving room, even if you start out back-to-back running back from the jump.
Okay. Let's just start out and let's just get into these teams. Let's start out with the NFC East and let's just go through them. Let's just see if there's anything that we need to sort of talk about here on them. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Trash, man. I feel like you probably want to jump off a bridge with your Cowboys right now. Do you think that they got enough for Micah Parsons?
No, they didn't. Yeah. But, I mean, logic doesn't factor into most of Jerry Jones' decisions at this point. I know he thinks he probably, you know, came out on the better end, and, you know, there's a slight chance that he did, but we won't know for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
My initial thoughts are no. You go back to the the Raiders to the Bears. Why can I think?
Who, Mac?
Mac. You think about that trade, which is, I think, the closest on par to the Micah Parsons trade. And if you're looking at what, you know, the team's gotten, that traded the players got for those players, I think, you know, the Raiders did better than the Cowboys did. And I think Parsons is better.
Yeah, well, clearly at this point in his career, it's like Dave Mulgeta for the win once again. My gosh,
did you hear the Daniel Jeremiah comments on it last night?
What
he said that he just went on his family vacation like a week ago or two, and or maybe it was a month ago. I can't remember what he said exactly, but he went on a vacation somewhere in the Caribbean and just happened to like be on the second floor balcony. He's looking out. And he sees a bunch of big dudes, and he's like, man, those look like some NFL players. And then like 2-3 minutes later, David Mulgeta walks by the front of the hotel, like right in front of his balcony, and he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And Mulgeta goes, what are you doing here? And he goes, I'm just on family vacation. He goes, what are you doing here? He goes, Jordan Love's wedding. And he just put like 2 and 2 together like yesterday. And he goes, Mulgeta, Love, LaFleur, all these people are in the same building, and Mulgeta obviously represents Micah Parsons. He goes, I saw it, and I didn't even like put it together. And I was like, that's just bizarre.
All right. Well, as far as fantasy for the Dallas Cowboys,
that might be the silver lining.
I think as far as fantasy for the Dallas Cowboys, just the most important thing, you know, is the running back. There's probably good value to be had on Javonte Williams right now at the kind of the 9-10-ish turn. But Jaden Blue was able to I guess survive that scare, the high ankle sprain in the third preseason game. He's already back practicing. Both of them for us, at least on the PPR and the Superflex cheat sheets, are, I wouldn't say priority targets, but certainly targets in that area of the draft where we talk about picking up some of these back of the roster running backs after we've loaded up through that value tier of receiver that you can have there in those spots. Jaden,
I don't agree that it's the most important thing, especially in the wake of this trade. I think I think that Dallas's receiving game is it just amplifies it. What they're going to stay in the games. I mean, I think Pickens, I think CD, I think, I mean, we're even going to have to start looking at Dallas's tight end as being maybe a marquee pick, you know, or at least a consistent streaming option. I mean, I know we haven't talked about him that much, but I just feel like his passing game, I mean, it's going to be a top. I mean, if it wasn't already top five, it's going to be a top five, maybe top three, I think, passing offense now, just to stay in games at this point.
Yeah. We haven't talked much.
We haven't talked much about it. I didn't kind of like overgloss that.
What?
Ferguson signed a 4-year, $52 million deal about a month ago.
I mean, I hadn't really considered much about. I mean, I guess he probably at least belongs around where like Hunter Henry and Brenton Strange, and he's not that far off of that area. But
I mean, definitely
he needs to. Yeah, so I'll actually make a note about Ferguson. That's a good call. But yeah, the trash man. I certainly agree that defense was already set to be bad, and you know, as of now, it's just I think it's wheels up for, you know, these good game scripts for passing. So we love CeeDee Lamb. Does that make you guys prefer CeeDee Lamb? It doesn't make you prefer CeeDee Lamb in PPR to Justin Jefferson, does it?
I mean, I wouldn't hate if somebody picked him over him. I wouldn't mince words with that person.
Well, does it? I mean, as of right now, they're going back to back, and CeeDee Lamb is now officially going ahead of Justin.
I mean, I don't know. Now that Thielen's back in Minnesota, that's taking food out of Jefferson's mouth, so to speak. I mean, we talk about the quarterback. I mean, McCarthy, we like him, but I mean, we still haven't seen that much of him. That's a good question.
I wouldn't mind moving Lamb ahead of Justin Jefferson on the sheet. It's just, it feels like Jefferson's, you know, more dynamic, but in PPR, it feels like there's probably gonna be a little bit more volume headed CeeDee Lamb's way over the course of the whole season. I know that Justin Jefferson's probably gonna start out a lot hotter with no Jordan Addison for the first three games.
I switched it in 2.4 is when I switched it from Jefferson to Lamb at number two. The ADP right now for half is back to back, like you said, 5-6. Every platform is either 2-3, 3-2, 2-3, 3-2. So I switched though in version 2.4 because of just that. Like, that was right around, I think, when the hamstring thing happened and right before maybe Addison's suspension was listed. But I still feel like Lamb and this scoring offense in Dallas should be top three or four. Like, I think I tweeted this or wrote it somewhere. Maybe it was on Orange Bloods, but I was like, this feels like it's becoming a poor man's Bengals right now. Just like the fact that like the Bengals have been pretty sour on defense.
It's not that poor of a man's Bengals. It's not that poor. If you just look at the top two receiving weapons, you look at the, I mean, I guess
I'm talking about like having no defense and like they had pass rush. Now they have no pass rush.
Right. Right. It's like the
Bengals had pass rush at least.
Yeah. And at least they were able to get their star re-signed. This is Minion Hunter. Minion Hunter, thank you so much for the shout. He says, everyone who needs to hear this, I've been using the Roster Watch cheat sheet since 2014. I win my leagues most years. I've never finished outside the top three. Best FF purchases ever. Well, we certainly appreciate you, Minion, man. We definitely love you, brother. And Albert Gomez says that he agrees. Been using them since 2018. They do give him an advantage. Well, thank you guys so much for being here in the chat. If y'all have questions, let us know. We certainly appreciate it. I'm not able to see the questions from X for some reason. There's some sort of malfunction in our system, but if you're in YouTube and you have questions, please, please let us know. All right. Let's see. What about Washington? So my big deal with Washington right now is just that I think that I look at Prize Picks and Underdog and stuff, and we're getting things ready to go for our player prop cheat sheet for week one. And there's some that I already love, like Travion Henderson over 2.5 receptions to me. Sounds like it's just free money. But I was looking at Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and I mean, does it concern you guys that like the sports books have him marked as like 26.5 total yards over under, 5.5 over under for the first quarter rushing yards? I mean, some part of me says, like, we need to take that over for the first quarter rushing yards. But part of me says, like, do they know something that we don't know? And I don't mind getting him, but it feels like he's going too early for me right now. I've seen him go in some of these sims and some real drafts in, like, the seventh round. I think ninth round is fine for him. But to guys, to be completely honest, man, I'm more interested in Austin Eckler. Yeah. I'm more interested in Austin Eckler, especially in PPR. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think of it.
I'm the same way. I'm much more interested right now. I mean, I think that the shark has been jumped with Jacory Kruski-Merritt. And as much as I like him, I think Trashman and I have talked about on the Dynasty show the other night about just being a good player, but he's not a great player. He's a slasher that fits into a role on this football team. And even when we're talking about Dynasty, it's like, if you can get out, you can get out at a certain price. Like, their second round picks, I can't remember what the deal was there, Trashman, but it involved like McCaffrey. I think it was it Kruski-Merritt and a 2026 first for McCaffrey? I think it was. And I'm like, at that point today, like, you're basically just, I mean, if I told you that trade a month ago, nobody's making it because, like, well, who the hell is Kruski-Merritt? It's like, today you're like, all right, well, there's value plugged in there. Now, would you give a first for McCaffrey? That is what it is. But I think that we've jumped a little too far on Kruski-Merritt, not us, but the general public. And now it's becoming, I think, that Eckler is a value. And I even think Chris Rodriguez, who I've plugged in there right at the end, right in that, you know, after the Ollie Gordons, after the Jerome Fords and Woody Markses, kind of right next to Alec Amen, are like, he's there in case I do need that fifth or sixth running back on the roster. He's an option for us at the back end because, again, not because I'm reading into the Dan Quinn comments about being pushed. Hey, is he the goal? Is he going to get the goal line opportunities? More so because it is what it is. Like, I don't think any of these three guys are really that great. And so it might be a hot hand approach. You know, if one of these three guys gets hurt, like, it's just kind of one of those situations right now.
Trash man, you kind of feel the same way. I mean, Jacory Cross, we've been talking about him since the Shrine Bowl. It's like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like,
his from that, or
there's also a little bit of murkiness about Rodriguez's role.
I can't buy into this whole Chris Rodriguez.
I mean, if there's any truth to him being, you know, short line goal, goal line short yardage back, then that really puts
why
a kibosh on Kruski-Merritt's.
Oh, on Kruski-Merritt, right?
Yeah.
Kruski-Merritt's a thick dude though through his lower half.
Yeah, but I'm just going off of what the coaches are saying, and so for me, Eckler. I mean, it's crazy that it sounds. Offers the safest, I think, option in that backfield right now with their most potential upside in PBR formats.
He's good at the – Eckler's, like, traditionally and famously awesome at the goal line.
Yeah.
He is. Like, people in fantasy were like, dude, that guy plays fantasy. He knows. Like, he wants to – he has himself on his fantasy team. He wants these touchdowns big time. All right, what about the Giants? Cam there was a long, long time where Cam Scataboo was going ahead of Tyrone Tracy. I don't think it's the case anymore. We've now those guys have about a round and a half of separation between them. I'd greatly prefer Tyrone Tracy at this point, but I do worry about Cam Scataboo carving out a role at some point this season. I think that's probably the main topic of discussion, along with, you know, Malik Nabers and how much you're discounting him, just given the kind of rash of little small management injuries that he's had through most of fall camp.
Can I just say, like, I think this Cam Scataboo thing is going to end up being just like Roschon Johnson. I don't think like
Roschon Johnson was nowhere ever anywhere near as wildly productive as Cam Scataboo was in college.
I don't care about his productivity because he was the only talented player on the roster outside of Jordan Tyson. And when Jordan Tyson got hurt, that's when Scataboo really took off. Like, he was good all year, but he was elite in the playoffs, and that's in the back of our minds. I'm not comparing the two as prospects or talents, but I would say that I think Roschon, for all intents and purposes, I thought coming out, if you put them head up in the same class, I would have taken Roschon. And I think you look at Scataboo in this backfield, I like Tracy. Everybody forgets about Devin Singletary, but somehow he made the roster. I beat out Eric Gray, who is a fine, younger, finer pass catcher that's cheaper. Singletary, I guess, could potentially be a trade candidate, but there's three guys here, and Singletary's in the backfield. I don't think that Singletary's good. I don't think that Scataboo's that great. I think this is Tracy's backfield. It's going to be murky, but I'm definitely not going to step over anything to go get Scadaboo in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's like I don't think that we can. And I would have been a guy who would have loved to. I would have loved to hear any good news on Scadaboo. We heard from people straight from that team about his intended usage this season. Trashman, anything that you have to say about the Philadelphia Eagles? I'm not sure there's much to say. It's like you're going to want to just draft the dudes.
Yeah, it's the same as every year. You can draft three, maybe four players on the Eagles and then forget about everybody else. I guess there's an argument, I guess, for a third receiver there in Philadelphia, coming from Washington.
There's never been an argument for a third receiver. Not even Jahan Dotson. Like, there's never been one.
I've read some about Dotson getting talked up in camp, getting his flowers in camp. But I mean,
It's the same thing as the third wide receiver or the tight end for the Bengals. Just don't mess with it. It's just bad. We have a couple of questions here in the chat. We have Eric Rutsch or Ruck. Sorry, Eric.
Might be Rouge.
Rouge. Do you guys think this could finally be the year for Kyle Pitts? Well, I keep getting him in mind.
The year for Kyle Pitts to what?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, look, Kyle, I mean, the connection with him and Michael Penix has been good. I mean, if you're getting him with the mocks on the cheat sheets, it means you're getting him in the 14th round, and, you know, none of the other tight ends we found were going to be values there for you. I just think it's a life preserver tight end in the 14th round.
Getting Pitts in the 14th round?
Yeah.
Every time, yeah.
Every single time.
He's always there.
I'm just like, why not?
In the 14th round, that I think that's fine.
We have our guy Renorca always coming through. So I'll hand this to you guys. One quarterback dynasty. Y'all are the ones who do these rankings. What's his current trade value in one QB dynasty? He has Love and AR. He says that he's got scrubs available. One quarterback dynasty. In my one quarterback dynasty leagues, I don't hold more than one quarterback, so I can see why you're asking about this. Do you guys have any sort of trade value for Cody? What's the name of what's that site? Trade Calc. What are some like trades that are going on right now for him?
So here's some deals in the last 48 hours for Stroud. Not really what I would expect. Let me hear one sec here, though. So one recent one was literally Jackson Dart for Stroud straight up, which I don't get.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Trevor Lawrence for Stroud straight up. Stroud in a second round pick next year for Mahomes. That's more like it. Stroud and Bashal Tutin for Jalen Hurts.
Which side of that do you like more?
Stroud and Tutin for Hurts?
Yeah, I think I like the Hurts side. Yeah,
I think I take the Hurts side. Tank Bigsby and Russell Wilson for Stroud.
No. Oh, I certainly like the Stroud side of that one. Okay.
Stroud, here's the last one. Stroud, a 2027 first, a 2028 first for Josh Allen.
In one QB?
One QB, full PPR, 12 team.
Okay. Well, that's a guy.
I mean, the thing is, Stroud, I mean, like,
that he goes and jumps
on. It's a tale of two seasons for Stroud. Like, we've seen one borderline elite season, and we've seen one not so much. I mean, I think this is the season where we'll see kind of what is the norm on Stroud. And I'm for him. I think he's a competent, capable quarterback. I think he, given the weapons and given enough time, he can be an elite quarterback in the NFL.
Here's a question from Big Breakfast, who clearly just got done drafting Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt on his team last weekend. He says he's currently the best RB talent on the roster. If they thought anything of Chris Rodriguez, they wouldn't have had him taking vacations to the practice squad on and off the last 2 years. Look, you're not going to have any blowback from me about the Chris Rodriguez stuff. I'm not buying into it. I don't believe it. I'm not going to have it. I'm not sure you can say he's the best running back talent when they have Austin Ekeler. But Austin Ekeler is old now. I mean, but it's like he's been a very talented, very good, like very good NFL player. We'll see about Jacory Crosby-Merritt, and I'd like to think we were the first in all the fantasy football space to alert people to this player back in January. So this it isn't like we don't like him. But and it's not like we don't think he can be good. Like there's just a few warning signs. And Cody, who were you saying the other day that this feels a little bit like? It's got a little bit of a Charkandrick West kind of.
I didn't kind of say that. That was one of our early comps.
Okay.
You're saying situation wise?
Yeah, like he got boosted up boards. Was that just in our text message chain? We said something like that.
It wasn't the. Were we talking about Pacheco maybe?
I forgot exactly what it was. Somebody, was it Charkandrick West? I forgot.
Charkandrick West was thrown in our
group. Something feels like where it's just like it could be one of these things where it's like, you know, we look back at the end of the year, we're like, what were people doing going up to the sixth round and drafting this guy? Or it could be like what a steal he was. It's an odd thing. Okay, a few more questions here. How do you guys feel about Torrey Horton? Do you think he'll unseat Kupp for wide receiver two by the end of the season? So Marquez Valdes-Scantling now gone for the Seahawks. Look, we're not going to see. So we've talked Minnesota, we've talked Seahawks. We'll go through teams kind of like this, right? We don't need to go division by division. Seahawks. I think the interesting thing with them is so they waived MVS, right? And I think he was signed to the practice squad of the 49ers?
49ers.
Okay. So it leaves Cooper Kupp. And then I think that basically I think the MVS thing shows us what they think about Torrey Horton. Now, Torrey Horton was a player who Cody was super high on. I was not as impressed with Torrey Horton when we got to see him and do a bunch of work on him last season during the actual season. But he like certainly when you went back and you reviewed the tape and you watched it, you're like, all right, Cody, was that like week five where he got kind of hurt last year? Horton, he was banged up through the end of the season.
He wrecked his knee and he had to get surgery, and that was kind of what derailed his season. And then he came back and he ran like a 4.41 or something at the combine and showed that he was healthy. Like that was, I remember the conversation that we had was because you were higher on Higgins and Noel than I was, and I was higher on Horton than you were. And that was kind of where we kind of batted heads with it. But I mean, I love Torrey Horton. I loved him at Colorado State. He got an offer to go to a bigger school. I got offered like $700,000-$800,000. He didn't do it. He stayed at Colorado State.
That always seems fishy to me that him and what BFN or what's that guy's name?
Fowler
Nicolosi, whatever his name is. I don't think that he got the big NIL offer.
The rumor was Kansas, right? The rumor was that Kansas offered them both. And you think back and you're like, all right, well, would Kansas really offer him when they have Jalen Daniels?
I mean.
No, you offer Horton, and if Fowler Nicolosi will come for, you know, 50K or something, you'd say, all right, cool, well, you can come.
Yeah, he didn't have an 800K offer on the deal. That guy stinks.
when he got hurt and he had a 3.45 yards per out run, which is third in college football as a non-qualifier, that was like his sticking stat. Again, not a full season, but I think overall as a receiver, I comped him to Jordan Addison, Marvin Jones types, a good number two in the NFL at times. So it's like I really liked Horton, and I think in this offense he can be really good. Now, I also think Cooper Kupp is a pretty ridiculous value right now. Like, I don't know how you feel about him in the PPR sheet or if you're getting him at all, but I've found that Kupp. So right now in half, he's going right around – where the hell did he go? He's going right around Matthew Golden. He's right at pick 100 in half. So it goes Diggs, Golden, Kupp, Juwan Jennings, Chris Godwin, Shakir, Jaden Reed. Like, in that tier, I think there's great upside with Matthew Golden for sure. I think Diggs is obviously aged. He should be the number one in New England. Probably not going to be a high passing offense. But you think about Cooper Kupp being the number two next to JSN. Like, those are two very similar players. But in this offense, if we can expect them to throw the ball 400, 450 times, I think there's plenty of ammo for Cooper Kupp to eat with, especially when we look at the tight end position and it's pretty, I mean, it's not really a zero, but it's Elijah Arroyo, and it's hard to really like project anything north of like 50 targets to a rookie tight end like that. So I think Cooper Kupp's in a fine spot and actually kind of a value right now.
Trash man, do you think there's any chance? Like, I think Cooper Kupp, I think Cooper Kupp is relatively dusted, but not completely, you know. Not completely.
Well, the thing with Horton is, I mean, they don't really have anybody else to stretch the field. I mean, that's got to be Horton. I mean, like you said, JSN and Kupp are basically playing the same position. I mean, Horton offers that kind of game-breaking upside, that kind of big play upside that I don't think either of those – well, JSN can break big plays, but it's going to be after the catch most likely. The sky's the limit for Horton in that offense, I think, in that passing game.
All right. Let's see. Was there another one here that somebody had? Is there probably – so this guy – so big breakfast is just saying, like, yes, he is. What – like, he's just in the chat. He took Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt in the fifth round, dude.
Here's the thing. I replied to him on YouTube in the comments, and I basically said, like – like what I said earlier, I think Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's good. But in the same report, and this is one that everyone's ignoring, is like the same report, the next sentence from Ben Standig was, despite Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt being really good, the best back in camp has been Austin Ekeler. And Big Breakfast is saying, like, that's one guy's opinion. But the thing is, that's the same guy's opinion that sent the warning flare out to say, hey, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's going to, you know, relegate Brian Robinson to lose his job. In the next sentence, watching these guys back-to-back, he said Ekeler was the better guy. Now, again, I'm not going to take that for 100% because, again, it's a beat reporter, but he's there every day. So, again, it's not really about, like, doubting Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. It's more of saying, like, these three guys are probably not that far apart from each other.
All right. We want to talk about – so we're in the NFC West. Anything you want to say about San Francisco? I think that Brian Robinson takes over as the clear handcuff to Christian McCaffrey, and that's where his value lies. I mean, we've even heard Shanahan say it. He just straight up said he's our RB2. I think that he would get a significant amount of run if Christian McCaffrey were to get hurt. And the other thing is, too, I've been getting higher and higher on Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall really, in the same area, it's like I think where I have him stacked up on the sheet is with in the same areas, say, like Emeka Egbuka. I have Jerry Jeudy in there. I have Chris Olave in there. Byron's asking in the chat why I love Chris Olave so much. And it's not that I love Chris Olave so much. It's where Chris Olave goes right now, right? If you look at, like, Spencer Rattler – In the games that Spencer Rattler started last year, look, I know he stinks. I know the offense isn't going to be going anywhere, but we're talking a difference in, like, you know, 7.5 targets per game. And in one of those games, so 15 targets over two games, and one of those games is the game where Rattler went out, or where Olave went out. Whereas whenever Rattler wasn't starting last year in games that he was healthy, I mean, Olave was down to like 4.8 targets per game. So, and Rattler would even say, he would say, like, I know my primary job is to get the ball to number 12. Yeah, like, I know that's my job. So we at least know that the targets are going to be going his way. He's a high-level talent, and where you're getting him right now, it's like the ADP doesn't do justice to how far Olave is falling. Like, the ADP is at 70, like, what, 75? So we're talking – you know, a guy that's generally we're not having to take until the eighth round. Like, I'm fine. Like, Chris Olave in the eighth round, I'm going to take him. It's not that I love Chris Olave. I think it's a terrific value for a really good player. Is he going to be on a bad offense? Yeah. But I think the state of their offense, I think it helps two players. It helps Alvin Kamara and it helps Chris Olave.
Over Pearsall, Adunze, and Egbuka?
No, I moved Olave on under those guys.
Okay, those guys are all, like, that's 1, 2, 3 right after him in ADP right now, and I'll as well have those three ahead of Olave. And yeah. I mean, Treshman, what do you think of this New Orleans offense? Because I remember vividly one of the first seasonal shows we did this year, this summer, you just said, like, what I'm not going to do this year is I'm not going to draft players on bad teams.
I mean, you know, the Saints offense looks like it's going to be one of the worst in the league. I mean, but the thing is, Olave, I mean, I guess Olave, I mean, this is the guy who previously, you know, I mean, maybe fourth round. I mean, like, yeah. Maybe higher.
Might get hurt, but he's coming in fine.
Like, I mean, like, if you can get Olave in the eighth round, I think that mitigates maybe him being on, you know, such a piss poor team, such a piss poor offense. You're getting value there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. Byron's like, why does Alex love Olave? No, I don't love the Saints. I think everybody should go out right now if you didn't draft him and go pick up the Arizona Cardinals to play in week one versus the Saints as far as your team defense. I think they're going to be bad, but I think that that's a good defensive play because I think there's going to be a lot of dropbacks. Is Spencer Rattler good? No, he's not good, man. But you get Chris Olave 12 targets. I don't care. He's a good enough receiver to come down with him. Is he going to get hurt? Who knows? So that's the deal with Chris Olave. Do you guys want to run a quick simulation?
Yeah, let's do it.
I think I have one. Which one's this? Is this I loaded a couple in. Is this Superflex? Okay, yeah. So this is a Superflex one. This is a test 5 from the version 5.3 of the Superflex cheat sheet. Again, where you just follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper. An expert quality draft is always guaranteed. We're picking from the 104. So I love picking from usually you can pick at the 105 or the 106, and sometimes Jalen Hurts will fall, but at 104 you're guaranteed at least Jalen Hurts. So feels a little bit like cheating to get this one, but it was a randomized selection. So let's go with Jalen Hurts at the 104. Okay. At the 209, it tells me to take Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that's who we'll take here. At the 304, no choice again. We'll take Josh Jacobs at the 304. Okay. At the 409, we'll go ahead and take Tyreek Hill. Of course, at the 504, we'll take Travion Henderson. So we start out pretty good balance here. Do I want RJ Harvey or Xavier Worthy? I have a choice here.
Worthy
sometimes falls.
I was going to say Harvey.
I'm going to take Harvey.
I might take Pickens if I'm being honest with myself.
Okay, so I took Harvey, and then Worthy fell to the 704, so we'll take him. Again, just following along with what the sheet tells me to do. At the 809, it tells me to take Travis Etienne. Are you guys warming up a little bit on Travis Etienne?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, gosh, this is a good spot to take a guy like
that. As my third back.
Yeah, man.
Fourth here.
Feels even better. Okay, so Etienne here. Cool. At the 904, we'll get Ricky Pearsall. Okay, 1009. It wants us to take Javonte Williams. I hope we get Javonte Williams and Blue, but I'm starting to get concerned about Superflex here.
That's interesting. Your ADP right before there with Pearsall and Ibuka has them at 100 and 102. In half, they're up to 81, 83 right now.
It could be the ADP for Superflex.
Oh, you're in Superflex. My bad.
Yeah. All right. So Javonte Williams here. And yeah, so we get Javonte Williams and Jaden Blue, which basically fading Miles Sanders has the Cowboys backfield completely locked up after they dropped Byron's favorite sweet angel, Deuce Vaughn. And then here we go. We get the Superflex taken care of, I think. We'll get Stafford here at the 1209 and hopefully Penix fall. Yeah, Penix at the 1304. And then we'll take at tight end Tucker Kraft. All right, so here's this team. The quarterback is Jalen Hurts. And the super flex options are Matthew Stafford and Michael Penix. The running backs are Josh Jacobs, Travion Henderson, RJ Harvey, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Jaden Blue. The wide receivers are Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall. The tight end is Tucker Kraft. Dude, this is a monster. Even this stupid thing can't give me a bad grade here. Do you think it's going to give me an 87? I'd give me a 90.
I'm going to get swindled.
What?
I think you're going to get swindled here.
Because I have two rookies.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to love your tight end play here. I think they don't. I'm not sure they're big fans.
They don't appreciate Josh Jacobs.
Elite value.
This team is sick, dude.
All right. I like it, but I don't think they're going to like it.
But let's auto draft a kicker in defense and see what they say. 92. It should be higher than a 92. But that's a sick team. It's the kind of team that you're going to be getting if you use the ultimate draft cheat sheet. Of course, only at rosterwatch.com. So make sure and get that done. We have the cheat sheet right there. You can click the QR code or go to rosterwatch.com. Sign up for a pro membership. It's super cheap, guys. And with your first month of membership, you not only get to use the cheat sheet, but you're going to be able to ask us all your sit start questions. You're going to be able to use the matchup tool. Use all of our cool tools like the waiver wire cheat sheet. That won't be this first week, but that'll come in week two, along with the touchdown dependency and all the stuff where we need to bring in data from week one. All that.
Really like Jacobs more than Taylor that much?
Yeah. Well, I made the change mainly for PPR. It's for PPR purposes, and also with the Marshawn Lloyd injury.
All right.
Do you not in PPR like him better?
I mean, I guess it's not a comparison I'd thought of really until just now. It's just whenever I was looking at the draft, it just like it was kind of.
Well, Josh Jacobs is going higher than Jonathan Taylor in PPR drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Probably.
Yep. All right. Somebody's asking about Bashiel Tootin. Somebody's asking about Alvin Kamara. Dennis Rodriguez is asking about him. He says, Kamara feels like a good buy low, someone the Saints will trade since they'll have zero wins all year. I mean, you can get Kamara right now in like the fourth round of these drafts. I think even the end of the third, it feels fine to me. The only thing that bothers me about taking him there is sometimes, and it's the same thing that's come up with me a little bit with James Cook and to a certain degree with Jackson Smith and Jigba, with where to slot them. I've had to do some weird things like put guys that I don't want to be drafting, like Ladd McConkey, over Jackson Smith and Jigba because Ladd McConkey is going 10, 12 spots ahead of him, right? And I don't want it to be – I want to be able to hopefully at the 3-4 turn get somebody like a Jackson Smith and Jigba and then come back around and get Travion Henderson, right? And that's why getting Alvin Kamara in that same area sometimes feels a little bit tough for me. But I think I do agree. I think that he represents a really good value right now. Thoughts on Bashiel Tootin? Think a Bigsby or ETN trade is still happening, as if that was just a lock to happen before, right? Is it still happening? I don't know, man. I think that they'd probably like to trade either of those guys, but I from everything that look, Bashiel Tootin has looked good, and we liked him. Was he on the All Senior Bowl team? No, I don't think he was. No,
I don't. Think he was.
I think Ollie. Maybe you added him as an honorable mention, or you added somebody weird as an honorable mention. I forgot who.
Ollie and Harvey. Okay. Marcus Yarns was an honorable mention.
Yeah, that Marcus Yarns one I didn't really give. I trusted you on it.
Did he make the practice squad or the 53 for New Orleans? Practice squad.
No, he made the. I think he made the. Did he make the team because they also drafted Devin Neal, didn't it? Right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he made the because I had to update the Dynasty Rookie cheat sheets after cuts, and I forgot whether I had to take off Yarns or not.
Starting running backs for the Saints are – not starting. Rostered for the Saints. Kamara, Kendre, Devin Neal, and Velus Jones.
Velus Jones?
Running back, number 13.
Wow. An old trash man favorite. He could be the next Cordero Patterson.
That'd be something.
Yeah, I'm not huge on Tootin. I'm more in that spot in for redraft leagues.
You're not rooting Tootin
all his life. I'm more interested in the Jaden Blues and the Ollie Gordons and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, I think if you are talking about an offense where there is, I mean, room for a player like Tootin to ascend to the top of the pecking order, it is a team like Jacksonville.
I think that's going to be – I mean, Tesla on the screen. Tootin has like week 1, 2, 3 waiver wire you know, 30-40% written all over him.
Yeah, it was some, yeah, if something were to happen to one of those guys for sure, or if he just comes in and breaks off a big run. Those are generally not the types of players you want to go out and spend all the waiver wire money on. You want to look and see if they're getting actual touches and targets and stuff.
Chubb rookie year 3 for 105 games.
Yeah. So mistake to millionaire. I wonder how that, let us know how you turned a mistake into millions. I'd be interested in that. Thoughts on Isaac Tesla. He is all of a sudden blowing up in the past week. Seems like a bigger, longer Amon Ra. Yeah, that's certainly a lot. And dude, we were big Isaac Tesla fans. You know, he gets it. Did he have the 1 year at Arkansas after being at Hillsdale College the whole time? And yeah, we got to, you know, certainly a kind of, I'm definitely a fan of the exuberance in the style and the attitude of his immediate and I guess extended family, just from the way that they were conducting themselves at the NFL combine this last year. They certainly didn't get the memo if you're supposed to keep quiet. But yeah, I mean, Tesla, he was one from the Senior Bowl too, that we thought was like, we actually really liked him. We thought that he was good, and I was happy. I knew he would be Mr. Preseason for preseason DFS and stuff. I worry, you know, do you think with them, does it matter that they shipped away Tim Patrick?
Of course.
And they obviously did that because they like Isaac Tesla. But is it like kind of like the third wide receiver for the Eagles or the Bengals, like we were just talking about? Like, what are you gonna get out of this guy?
I mean, I think if J-Mo, if they were to move on from J-Mo for some reason, which
this season,
maybe not. It's probably more of a dynasty. I think.
Yeah,
more
this is a dynasty quest. I mean, I'll talk about Isaac Tesla for dynasty. It's really hard for me to talk about him for redraft. Do you agree, Cody?
Redraft, it's pretty straightforward, man. Like you think back a year ago with Jameson and Amon-Ra and how ticked off people were at Sam Laporta for what, 9 weeks? 9 weeks we went, and people were just like, "Where's Sam Laporta? Sam Laporta's not here. Sam missing on a milk carton. Sam Laporta's not going to play." But he was playing. He just wasn't getting targeted. And now we're talking about a fourth player, like past Laporta, Isaac Tesla. Like, sure, could you look up in week three and this guy's had a game that's like the Tootin thing I was talking about a minute ago, but at wide receiver, 3 for 105 and a touchdown. Could that happen? 100%. Will that happen every single week? No. As volatile as Jameson Williams is, and I can't really get fully behind Jameson because I think his play style, especially in this offense, is a little bit too volatile for fantasy football, much more like a guy I would draft in best ball. I'm not going to go walk past that, walk past the laborative stuff from last year, and then go, yeah, Isaac Tesla is going to give me something in 2025 without an injury happening. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's a great player. I think like for dynasty, go ahead and go get him. I think I moved him up ahead of like Jalen Noel and stuff like that as far as the latest update to the dynasty rookie cheat sheet for our pro members.
Let me ask you one question, dynasty then. So in dynasty, I moved him. Would you rather have Tesla or Andre Yosevash?
Oh, Isaac Tesla.
Tesla.
You kidding
Tesla
me?
Tesla or Torrey Horton?
Horton.
It's like toss up. I like them both. Maybe Horton.
Tesla or Parker Washington?
Oh, Tesla.
Yeah.
Parker Washington.
You love Parker Washington, Cody.
You're the only one who likes him.
Parker Washington is a starting slot receiver in Jacksonville.
We think.
We know.
No, okay. We think.
Calvin Ridley or Tesla?
Ridley.
And a dynasty? Is that why you're asking?
I'm playing to win, dude. I want Ridley. I want a guy who could be like a wide receiver 3 for me right now and go win. This guy Blaze says, or Blase, I don't know. He says he gets the cheat sheet every year and can't find it this year. Well, I wish I could help you. You can go to just go. All right, what you do is just.
That's always been a point of contention.
Yeah. If you logged in, so if you go to Roster Watch, do you want to go there and like show them how to get to it? Can I share my screen?
Sure.
So just go to Roster Watch.
Probably got to log out.
Why?
So it doesn't show that you're logged in, because then otherwise you won't be able to understand it.
Okay. So here you go. Just go to the front page of Roster Watch. Share the screen. Go here and just click on My Account. Go to your profile. So you're right here. If you go look here, you get the premium tools. That's where the player prop cheat sheet will be, all the rest. But all the tools that you're used to using, like the, you know, the Hyper DFS generator, what's going to be here, like the waiver wire cheat sheet, all this stuff, strength of schedule tools, all this, the implied team totals tool, the Vegas tool, the Bus and Monster scoring distribution tool, the Dynasty rookie cheat sheets, the actual pre-NFL staff rankings, the Dynasty top 250, and then the, you know, the snap counts, touches, targets, touchdown dependency, all that stuff for in season. It's just right here at the very top. It says Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, right? You just go here, launch online tool, download and print. And if you're having trouble just like logging in or something, then that's a different issue. You can just email us. What's the email? Rosterwatch at Gmail. I think we'll get to it. You think you can also go to info at
Rosterwatch.
Yep. All right. And again, that's, you can get access to all that stuff with a pro membership at Rosterwatch. That's what we're here talking about. Any other questions to get to, or like team previews, or what are we doing?
There was one, if you have a thought on this, I know we talked about this maybe on yesterday's pod for a minute. Jay Connor says, can you talk more about how to tackle a 10-team draft versus 12 and 14 and count of starters, i.e. I play a 10-team where I'm starting more than I do in a 12-team?
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing that I'll just say about 10-team leagues is that the player pool of flex position players available to you becomes bigger because there aren't those two extra teams that are drafting them. That makes just automatically, it makes the positions where you can only start one player more valuable. And so gaining an advantage at those positions is more important. So in a 10 team league, I'm much more apt to go early quarterback and see if I can get like in the second or third round, just get, you know, just go ahead and get Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, or, you know what I mean? This type of player, preferably one of the top four, Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts. And then at tight end, it's kind of the same, because in a 10 team league, if you have like, if you do have like a Bowers, or I think McBride, you know, he typically goes a little bit later than Bowers. And I kind of view those guys through almost the exact same prism. That gives you a big positional advantage in those spots. Whereas whenever you're getting guys now in the, you know, in the eighth round, which in a 10 team league, you might not be getting till the, or in a 12 team league, you would have to be getting in the end of the sixth or something like that. All of a sudden you can stack up a league of, a group of flex players at the wide receiver and running back position that are going to be very similar to the flex players that your league mates are going to have, but you're going to have the advantage at those onesie positions. Whereas in a 12 team league or 14 team league, you're scrambling just to make sure that your starting lineup is good. And you, like, forget quarterback and tight end. I need to make sure, like, I only need one of those guys, right? Whereas in a 10 team league, you're like, well, I only have one of these guys. There's plenty of excess value to be had at running back and wide receiver because they're getting pushed down the board.
Yeah. And you just want to make you sure you get the most value out of your starting positions. Like, you want to fill that out first in a 10 team league. Make sure you get your starting group first, and then you can add depth.
Yep. FUD Gums Lover. Do you ever do drafted team critiques? Well, sometimes for our pro members in the comments section, but certainly not on radio or on podcast. It makes it like Trash Man. Do you remember we did that once where some guy called in and he's like, here's my roster. It was like, what do you think? And we're like, okay, well, this is horrible radio, but we kind of went over it. Next thing you know, dude, the phone lines just flooded. What about my team? Here's mine. Like, there's no, I know people want to hear what people say about their teams, but for our pro members at the site, if people ask in the comments, you know, they're like, I use the cheat sheet, I drafted this team. We'll be like, okay, we'll talk about it, because those are our customers that keep the lights on, and, you know, just it comes with the territory. Let's see. Why Byron has a bunch of questions. We're going to answer Byron's questions. We're just going to text these answers back to, back to him.
He's getting a kick out of watching it on the TV.
Yeah, he's like, oh, dude, I could put it on my television. Yeah. So I think Byron already answered him back. We do critique and answer the questions over there at over at rosterwatch.com. Okay. Do you want to do a how about this, Cody? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do some sims. We'll answer some more questions, and then we'll get out of there.
This is Jerry Jones, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
All right, Jerry Jones bringing us back in. So pumped to be here with you guys.
Let me get him
here on the big trash man. Just heard his voice, man. It just says, "Oh my gosh, dude." Yeah, well, on the big fantasy draft show, the final big fantasy draft show of the 2025 draft season. We know you guys have your big drafts coming up this weekend, so if you have questions, let us know. But remember, go to rosterwatch.com, sign up for a pro membership. Think about this like one of those old what's that guy's name that did like the telethons, like the sales drives?
Oh, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. It's like just you're doing it to help out your degenerate friends here, Cody and Trashman and Alex, man, to be able to keep the lights on and be able to pay for our groceries, dude. We're trying to get people to sign up for the pro membership at rosterwatch.com, and we know we're going to help you, and we know we're going to bring you into the family, and we're going to win and dominate together. So go to rosterwatch.com, make sure and get that done.
I got a half and standard one ready. You want to rip it?
You got one? Yeah. You got something, if you got it set up, set it up.
Oh, crap. Wrong one, my bad.
It's not even our best side.
Wrong post. Shout out to Byron. All right, we're going to draft here from the 109. It's going to be half and standard sheet 5.5 testing right now. And this draft started out with Jamar Chase, Bijan, Barkley, Gibbs, Jefferson at the 105, Lamb at the 106. So three running backs, 2, 3, 4. McCaffrey at 7, Nico Collins up at 8. We're going to be drafting from the 109. For this draft. Again, one quarterback, two running back, two receiver, two flex, six bench is going to be how we're going to attack this thing. And right now, Derrick Henry, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm going to start out with running back. We talked about running backs earlier. I want to see how this thing works, if we can double tap a running back potentially and see how it comes around. I'll go Derrick Henry here at the 108.
Ooh, I like this. This is total boomer styles, Cody. I like it. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor.
I love this. This is, two 300 touch guys.
Yeah.
Off the rip. That's how you start the two running backs at the 108 and the 204. Achan goes 203 right ahead of us. Puka Nacua, 201. So we're going to take Jonathan Taylor here, no choice. At the 309, we see Amarin Hampton go 306. See any other ones? Travion's still there, but we don't get a choice. We have to take T. Higgins, who we talked about just a little bit ago. I like T. Higgins more than I think I did a couple of months ago. I've come around on T. Higgins. Tyreek Hill in round 4. I mean, I know Trashman had a good draft earlier this week where he ended up with Tyreek Hill as his wide receiver 3. But at this point, when you're talking about getting Tyreek Hill in round 4, I can't really argue with it. And right now the cheat sheet's not really giving us an option, so we're going to take Tyreek Hill at the 404. At the 509, he wants us to go wide receiver again. No choices. Tedrell McMillan. 604, we're going to get Alex's guy, Xavier Worthy. No choices. Aaron Jones is a couple spots later. So we'll go two running backs off the rip. Four receivers with Higgins, Hill, McMillan.
Like this. See, this is the structure I like, Cody. You're just falling into it naturally. You're probably going to get a running back right here. You're probably going to come back around and hopefully maybe get one of those Pearsall, Stephon Diggs, Jordan Addison type of guys. And then hopefully you'll be able to rack up some running back depth and get your Ollie Gordon types and all the rest of that down the stretch in this thing. We'll see what happens, but I mean,
that so was Pearsall and Ibuka did go just 706, 708 here. Okay. But the theory is still there. So start out two running backs, four receivers. Now we're going to go Travis Etienne here at the 709. No choice. Bill is on the next line. Bill does fall to us at the 804. That's kind of surprising. I mean, he hasn't really been falling quite to there in recent mocks. At the 909, this value is ridiculous. It's very hit or miss depending on drafts right now, whether Kelsey does make it to this point. I've seen it, and then I've seen it where people have taken him in the sixth. But if he falls here, we love this value. round nine, Travis Kelce as our tight end.
He's going to be planning his marriage all season.
I think he's going to have a historic season.
Planning and his wedding.
And then he's going to go off into the sunset. 10-04, the real wide receiver one in Buffalo, Keon Coleman falls to us. He's going to be our wide receiver five at the 11-09. Again, don't have a choice. He wants to take our quarterback, so we're going to get Kyler Murray down there in Arizona. The 12-04. Just missed on getting a choice. They wanted to take Luther Burden. So really not a lot of choices in this draft. So Luther Burden, just follow the cheat sheet, three simple rules, and I promise you your draft will be strong, just as this one is. We're going to finish out 13-09 with a little Woody Marks, and then our final pick is going to be
Coker.
Coker. Coker, Rodriguez, or Kyle Pitts.
Just don't take Rodriguez. Take Coker.
Trash man, we have Travis Kelce. We also have Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt with Rodriguez. And we also have Tet.
I mean, you got to take Pitts.
Or you could just cheat and take Breshard Smith.
Never bastardize the cheat sheet.
Yeah.
I like Pitts. I like the Kelce Pitts thing has been honestly one of my favorite things to do in drafts. Ninth round Kelce, 14th round Pitts just doesn't, it's hard to wrap your brain around it. I love this team. Quarterback is Kyler Murray. Running backs, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Woody, future starting running back in Houston, Marks. Receivers are T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill, McMillan, Worthy, Keon Coleman, and Burden. And the tight ends are Travis Kelce and Kyle Pitts. 86. Oh, I'm not even – get out of here with that. Get out of here with that.
I hate – dude, I hate getting Bs in these things.
Get out of here with that.
They thought you took too long to get your wide receiver.
What tilts me in
I love that team.
What tilts me endlessly is when you have one that's really good, like we had the other week, and they gave me like a 77. And I just looked at it like, and I was legit like, I'm a pretty laid back dude. I don't like, I got offended by this stupid machine. I was like, that's offensive to my very senses, dude. Speaking of offended, as long as we're, that got me pumped up to maybe try one too. Let me try one here in a second. I actually need to get one set up. Let me get it set up. Cody, do you want to answer one of these questions? And I will
So Jason Sparrow on YouTube says, once and for all, who are we taking at 102 if Chase is gone? And I think this can be
once and for all, it's always been Bijan Robinson.
This is the thing is the move we've made, and I think it's pretty consensus across sheets right now. In PPR, you get an option between Bijan and Chase for the 101. And then in the half and standard sheet, Bijan is standalone at the top of the sheet. So we love Bijan, and we'll stand on that next to or above Chase.
We stand on Bijan-ness.
I've been taking Bijan above Ja'Marr Chase in these latest sims.
Yep.
I mean, but it's like, I mean, look, gosh.
I took them off the same line like a week ago.
I'm pissed off about this one because I know I'm going to get a bad grade. You know why? These snooty experts at Fantasy Pros, I'm picking from the 108, these snooty experts – they just turn their nose up at Christian McCaffrey. They're like, you can make an argument for Christian McCaffrey much higher than the 108, especially if you, I mean, I don't know. It's like almost the fact that they brought in Brian Robinson and you can get him later and make a little plan just to, if you want to deviate from the sheet to be able to go get like a Brian Robinson or something like that, if you draft McCaffrey, I think it's fine. Cause I do think if you were able to fill, you know, if he were able to fill in, if McCaffrey were to miss time, I'm not sure he would. Do you think he would be as good as Jordan Mason was last year?
Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's a pretty cheap, kind of good, like really well-defined handcuff. It almost kind of – it makes me feel a little bit better about McCaffrey. Anyway, because, you know, before it was like Isaac Grindo. Like if I take him, like I'm going to handcuff him, and then Grindo's going to come in for McCaffrey, and he's going to get hurt on the second play of the game where you want him to go be, you know, your RB1. All right. But anyway, the 108, we take McCaffrey. 205, no choice here. We have to take Drake London. 308. So I have a choice between James Cook and Tyreek Hill. Man, sometimes Tyreek will fall. I'm gonna take James Cook at the 308.
Somebody's got to score points for the Bills.
Yeah, Tyreek does not fall, but I do get Travion Henderson at the 405. The 508, it says take Cortland Sutton. Here we go. 605, Jameson Williams. At the 708, we'll take Ricky Pearsall. So we started out with three running backs, but we're going right back to, what, four wide receivers now? It's not bad. Another wide receiver here at the 805, we'll take Stephon Diggs. The 908, J.K. Dobbins. The 1005, is this a choice? No, it's not a choice. So Jaden Blue will take at the 1005. At the 1108, we have a choice between Christian Kirk and Kyler. I'm just going to go ahead and take Kyler and take my quarterback here at the end of the 11th. 1205, we take Ollie Gordon. It's Roshan. I haven't been a fan. We should be taking Woody Marks ahead of Roshan in PPR right now, shouldn't we?
Yep.
Are they okay? They're on separate lines. I'm going to add that to update to. So Marks, I'm going to take him ahead.
I think you got to bury Roshan, brother.
But I mean, he is buried. We're down to this point. We're to our last two picks. If I bury him to the behind this, what's going to happen is within picks in rounds 13 and 14, you're going to be able to choose between Woody Marks, Jalen Coker, and Kyle Pitts if things fall like this. Yeah. And we know we're going to have to take Pitts. What do we need more of? We have five running backs. We have 5 wide receivers. Who do you guys like better between Woody Marks and Jalen Coker? I think this is the kind of place where you just take Woody Marks and just hope that you end up getting a starting running back out of the deal, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So we take him and then hopefully Pitts will fall. Yeah. Pitts falls here. So to the 1405. And that's why the guy was asking, why do you get so much Pitts? It's like, if you slip through the cracks at running back, he's actually a good one to take. So this team is Kyler Murray, the running back.
Tight end.
What did I say?
At running back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. If tight end falls through the cracks, Kyle Pitts is a good one to take. Kyler Murray is the quarterback. Running backs are Christian McCaffrey, James Cook, Travion Henderson, J.K. Dobbins, Jaden Blue, Ollie Gordon, Woody Marks. The wide receivers are Drake London, Cortland Sutton, Jameson Williams, Ricky Pearsall, Stephon Diggs. Tight ends Kyle Pitts. It's auto-drafted kicker and defense. They're going to give me an A on this, aren't they?
I don't know. I think they might not like it too much.
I don't think so either. I think you're going to get completely swindled here.
do I even want to hit the button? Let's just hit it. 84. Yeah, I got swindled. It's a great team, dude.
Who didn't want to go to war with that team? Didn't take Rashad White.
Do you know what I should have done is taken Tyreek Hill over James Cook. It would have given me a better grade for that. Doesn't matter. Love the team. Love the team. It's choose your own adventure using the cheat sheet.
I don't think they necessarily believe in Ollie Gordon either. I think it was some of those later running back picks.
Daniel Kane, would you consider taking a QB earlier than the sheet suggests if the league was a 6-point QB league? No, I would not. And should I explain the reasoning or like just
yeah?
Don't do it. The reasoning is once you there. For one, the quarterbacks who you take at the very top are the ones that come with a lot of rushing upside, right? They come with a lot of rushing upside. And whenever you up the passing whenever you up the passing touchdowns to 6 points, what that means is it doesn't make sense to go and take a Lamar Jackson earlier because that rushing floor that he brings has been devalued because the drop back passing quarterbacks now get those extra 2 points when they throw touchdowns. So take those top four off the board, not off the board, but realize that you're not gaining any extra value. It's actually hurting their value to have those guys as the 6-point guys. Now, if you just look at like at these quarterbacks as far as where they project in fantasy points per game. Once you get to, like, say, even around like where, like, say, like Justin Herbert area, right? In this whole area with, like, you know, like the CJ Strouds and the Jordan Loves and Matthew Stafford and, like, you know, these types of players, right? It's like the scoring is, like, so flat there anyway that you're going to be able to get somebody that's basically the same at quarterback 20 as you're going to be able to get as the guy at quarterback 9, right? So why would you ever reach up and do it? It's like you're talking about a difference between like 18.7 fantasy points per game and like 20.0 fantasy points per game. If for like a group of, you know, and if you go down to like the 17 point guys, it's like it goes even further. You go like 22 deep. So no, I would not be taking them earlier. And I think in 6 point passing touchdown leagues, it almost just makes more sense to wait for that kind of just completely static tier of quarterbacks that you know are good, that have good receiving options, that are just going later than everybody else, and get one of those drop back passers that typically get devalued because they don't have the rushing upside. All right. Anything else you guys want to get off your chest before we get out of here? Like, just any final tips for the people for their fantasy drafts? Let's each give one tip for your drafts this weekend before we head out.
I can go first. I'll say this.
And I hate to put you on the spot with such a
– Oh, dude, that's fine. Believe in the sheet. Trust the sheet. Relax. I think the best way to explain it – I put the tweet out. Didn't get any pub on the Roster Watch account maybe a week and a half ago, but it was the picture of Theo Vaughn, the comedian, sitting ringside of the UFC event. And he just sits there by himself, you know, an hour before most of the fans show up, and he's just relaxed, and he's just content. And he's talked about being just relaxed in that setting. And it reminds me of going into a draft prepared. And even if you don't prepare, but you show up with the draft cheat sheet, that if you just follow the three simple rules and you can just walk in and you can just mark dudes out the list and you don't have to worry about the headache, the thoughts, and you can drink your beer, you can eat your food, and you can talk your smack, and you don't have to do anything. You just have to follow along the sheet, build the balanced roster, and win. It's that easy. Just, again, relax, use the sheet, trust the sheet, enjoy Labor Day weekend. And when Labor Day weekend's over, come back to rosterwatch.com, rosterwatch on YouTube, and just tap into all the shows, relax, win a championship. Football's back. That's all I'm going to say. We're here.
Yeah. And starting next week, it'll definitely be a different show schedule for us, just because once we get into the in-season grind, it's just there aren't enough hours in the day for us to stream record these videos every single day. But we're going to be here with you for waiver wire. We're going to be here with you for Cody. Are you going to do Monday? This is probably a good time to talk about this. Are you going to do the Monday recap thing?
Yep.
And then Tuesday we'll have waiver wire. And I think probably Thursday or Friday we'll have the player prop show. So we'll be moving to three shows a week here on the channel in season. We'll also have another video for our pro members only. That'll be the DFS and the complete slate breakdown that we have, that only Roster Watch and Roto Grinders premium members get to watch. So you guys will still hear from us like four times a week during that stuff. But like Cody said, man, you come back next week, we're locked in on week one and making sure that you've done everything to put yourself in the best position to win. Now you got to choose, like, all right, well, like, I got all this depth on my bench. Like, who do I start? What do I do? What kind of moves do I need to be making? What kind of defenses do I need to be picking up? Who should I be streaming at kicker? Those are things we're going to be helping you with next week. But for this weekend, just like Cody said, don't worry about your draft. Go in there. Don't panic. Use the cheat sheet. My just general bit of advice is that don't worry about — this is something that I've seen when I've been kind of helping with some other drafts and with people that are very, very casual, right? That they kind of wanted me there to help and, you know, help officiate these drafts. It's been mainly up at my church where there's been a bunch of dudes that have gotten leagues together and stuff. And so these are very casual players, probably a lot like some of the ones that you're gonna have in your league. The way that you can really exploit these guys, what these guys do is they want to fill out their starting roster. They just say, like, all right, well, I've got my two running backs, I've got my three wide receivers, now I got to get my quarterback and my tight end. And even if it's not in a spot where any value is to be had at all, they're having to reach three rounds on these guys just so they can feel good about their starting roster before they start filling out their bench. And that might sound like a very, very, very elementary principle to you if you're somebody here who's watching the show and you've gone through an hour, 15 minutes of this show on this channel. But in case it's not, the point of this fantasy draft is not to get your starting roster filled out and then load
unless
up.
Unless you're in a 10-teamer.
If you're in a 10-teamer, it becomes – even if you're in a 10-teamer, you shouldn't be doing it unless like a relative value presents itself. You shouldn't be – let's say you get to the sixth round and everybody else has drafted their starting tight end and you're sitting there in round six in a 10-team league and it's like – you know, there are seven, eight tight ends off the board already. And because of that, somebody in like Marvin Harrison Jr. has fallen to the sixth round. You're not going to go ahead at that point and say, well, even in a 10 team league, I'm going to go ahead and just take Evan Ingram right here. That would be idiotic. So just keep that in mind. Like we talked about how those onesie positions, they are more valuable in 10 team leagues, but you got to be taking guys that are going to be big, big, big difference makers, big differentiators at those positions for you. The top four quarterbacks, the top two to top three tight ends. Other than that, you're going to have to wait for the value. And I think that the cheat sheet's the best way to do that. But as far as 12, 14 team leagues, don't fall into the trap of saying like, I got to get my starting roster filled out before I can start adding onto the bench. It doesn't make any sense. And it presents you a huge edge whenever everybody else in your league does that. And you don't
tell me about it.
Trash man.
A couple of things. One, wait for your quarterback. The difference between after the top, you know, three, four quarterbacks, the difference between 5 and 10 aren't that great. Also, it's a big thing for me, and it goes throughout the season as well. I like to always have at least one position on my bench that I know I can drop and in an instant. You know, if somebody becomes available on your waiver wire that's a must pick up, I always like to know what position I can drop, which player I can drop to get that player. So always have one player, one position on your bench that you can get rid of in an instant, you know,
the old trash man recycling bin there at the bottom of the roster. We know it very well. We have Mike Yee just with a quick question. How do I find rankings on your side? I have a pro sub. Well, thank you so much for that. The rankings for week one, I'll send those to our web guy. I'll send the link to our web guy. We should probably we'll get those up over the weekend. They won't be updated until early next week. But there'll just be a tab on the top that just says rankings. It's not up right now because it confuses everybody whenever we're out of season. They click on rankings. We're like, what are these for? But now we are kind of coming into week one. So we will get that rankings tab up. If you're just talking about where to go to get the cheat sheet, that's not rankings. That's a sheet of paper that it's going to help you draft value at every spot. That's what we keep talking about. That just on the very top, whenever you're logged in, just go to the top where it says My account, click on my account. It'll take you to the Pro Tools section and it's right there. Super easy to find. If you want a visual of how to do that, just scroll back probably 30, 45 minutes here on this video. And I showed somebody how to do it who was having some trouble on the site. We hope you guys have no trouble. If you do, you can email us info@rosterwatch.com. But if you have questions about your draft or whatever, man, ask them on the site. When the season starts up next week, we'll have pro only posts up starting on Thursday of next week with Trashman's flex rankings. If you have questions for who to start in the Thursday game, ask them there. If you have questions for who to start on the Sunday for the Sunday slate, make sure and ask them on the last minute sit start thread. There's usually hundreds of people in there, but our guarantee is that we answer every single question for every single member. So love you guys, man. Thank you so much. Can't tell you how much we appreciate it. God bless you. Have a great, great, great Labor Day weekend. Go dominate those drafts, dude. And we will see you on the other side.